This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, it is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us tawfiq to perform our Isha Salah with Jama'ah. Secondly, it is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has granted us the ability to sit for a few moments in the masjid and to remember Him and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, this is only through the fadl of Allah, because we only come to the masjid through the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the company of great ulama and mashayikh. And alhamdulillah, Shaykh Hassan Ali Hafizahullah, many brothers are aware of him, no need for an introduction. He has accepted our invitation and he is here amongst us to enlighten us with his words of wisdom. The Shaykh is very well known, especially in London, North London. He served as an imam for a very long time. And at present, he is running an academy, Safar Academy. And through this academy, many people, they have benefited from it. And day by day, it is growing and strengthening. We make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Shaykh's efforts. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the health he needs, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep his long lasting shadow amongst us. Without any delay, I will call upon the Shaykh to enlighten us with his words of wisdom. Brothers are kindly requested to sit humbly, respectfully, and listen attentively to the words that the Shaykh is going to deliver.
Can I just request those of you who are here just to come and fill in the gaps? And I'm going to request all of you as well to keep your wudu as well. You keep onto your wudu, then we'll have a bit of a demonstration of a two rakat as well before you leave. Because the session is going to be one to try and correct our own salah. So try not to get relaxed too much. The wudu sort of leaks somewhere. Keep your wudu, inshallah. I think they're getting another chair. Once they get that, we'll make a start, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين وقال تعالى واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters who are listening, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As I said to you, brothers, please keep hold on to your wudu, inshallah, for the duration of the entire reminder. We will have a practical demonstration of salah, because the whole thing is to try and make this my salah for my Allah. Okay? And sisters as well, where you are, try and keep hold on to your wudu so that you can do the demonstration when the time comes. My brothers and my sisters who are listening, first is when we have somebody who we speak to, there are many different ways we have different people who we speak to. Sometimes you have someone you speak to for necessity. So for example, you have an uncle who you don't like too much. Yeah? Or you have an elderly person who you don't like too much. Do you know what I'm talking about? You don't, guys don't know what I'm talking about. You love everybody, right? Guys, respond to me. Yeah. Do you have someone in your life somewhere that you don't sort of get on with that much, yeah? Okay, good. So when you speak to that person, the person says to you, said, Kemcho, he says, how are you, this and that, and you Khadiche, you know, okay, you know. And when they say to you, how was your day in your college or whatever, you say, it's okay. So very short answers, you give very short answers. Oh, it's okay. You know, how's your studies? Fine. What are you up to? Nothing. You know, it's like, get me out of here. You know, I don't want to speak too much. It's very uncomfortable to be in the presence of someone that you don't get on with, or someone who you feel might be chatting to you to try and perhaps put you in trouble somewhere. Those kind of conversations don't go very long. You give short answers normally. Now, when you have someone who you get on with, it's a total different matter. Okay, depending on how much you like them and depending on how many common things you've got between you and them, that's the longer you like to converse with them. So for example, if you have a friend, he says to you the same question, he says, how are you doing? Yeah, man, I'm fine, man. Yeah, cool. You know, what's going on? You're right. Did you see that? It's different from Chacha, right? When Chacha asks me, what's happening? I say, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm fine. Right? But when my friend asked me, because I like to have a conversation with him, say, yeah, cool, it's going all right, what's up with you? See, what's up with you? So he'll say, okay, things are fine, my studies are coming up, and I'm finding a bit of a thingy, turmoil, but I'm getting on with it. What did you do last Saturday? Oh, last Saturday, yeah, we all went up for football. You know, we went down the same place that we go up to, and he was crazy, man. He was crazy. And then you say, well, what happened? What happened? You know how it is when they go on the football match? By the way, yeah, some people, some brothers, if you want to know how a true brother is, just take him out for football. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Yeah? If you want to know about a person, a real, you know, some people, some brothers, mashallah, they can control themselves on the football pitch, yeah? But a lot of brothers, their jahiliyyah comes out on the football pitch. You know, the worst part of them comes out of them. You know, they start slinging words here and there. They start getting angry. They start using words they never used to use. You say, what's wrong with you, brother? You just prayed with me. Yeah, but I'm playing with you right now. Not praying with you, am I? Some brothers, if you really want to know, like sometimes they say to me, you know, how do you find if that brother's going to be good for my sister? Because, he's proposed to my sister. I said, bro, just go and watch him play football. You probably see it all kicking off in the football ground, okay? The thing is, when you talk to someone that you like, your conversation continues, depending on how much commonalities you have between them and yourself. Now imagine it wasn't just a friend. Imagine it was your lifetime. Let's say somebody's actually getting married, okay? So when somebody's getting married, we all know that they go through some period where they have this honeymoon period. Okay? Honeymoon period is a very blessed period. It's when a lot of barakah is descending upon them. So much barakah and so much blessing is descending on them that they don't even know that the world exists. They think only she exists and she thinks only he exists. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, that's called the honeymoon period. It's a very good thing, alhamdulillah. I'm very happy for them. But the only thing is, never lasts forever. Okay? So enjoy it while you can. So anyway, imagine somebody is actually getting married. Okay? Or somebody has found their lifetime partner. Now this conversation is going to be very different from the friend's conversation. It's going to be very different from the one that I said about the uncle G or the cha-cha. It's very different. Because this one's going to be, like before, if her name before was, let's say, you know, Khadija, okay? Khadija. Then before he just said Khadija. But once he gets married to her, and once they get close, he's going to say Khadija, Khadija. Right? So he's going to stretch it. He's going to say it differently. You understand? It's different. Even before he might have just said a few words and here and there, but now he's married, he gets closer and closer. They have very intimate, long conversations, and they don't even know where their time has gone. They don't know where the time has gone. Seriously. Time flies. When you talk with someone you have a very good connection with, yeah? Time flies. You don't even know where the time is. You sometimes wonder, you say, oh my God, we've only got a little bit more time left. We've got a little bit more time today. And then you don't want them to get up, even if they get up, yeah? Even if they get up, you're like, no. You know, get back down, yeah? You know, get back down. So it's like, I want to talk to you. Chup chap bejani. You know what I'm saying? Like, get down. We want to talk to each other because you love your conversation so much. You like it so much. Now, this is the difference between us and how we treat our salah. Okay? The reason why I've said all of that is not because I'm having a social chat with you on a Sunday evening, all right? In the holy masjid. The reason why I said that to you is because every person here either is in salah because, just like, you know, when you talk to uncle, you ask you a few questions, you're like, you know, just like few answers here, there, just get it out of the way and get out of there. Either you are in salah because it's like a burden. You just want to get out of there. You want to do it and get out. And I'm honest with you, there are many Muslims who are in that situation. And the Quran has spoken about it. Seriously, the Quran has spoken about people who find salah as something that, you know, is a burden. It's really something heavy to lift. And the Quran has also spoken about people who will do the second one, which is they're enjoying. You know the second one I said, your friend asks you, how was your last Saturday one for football? Or the second one, Allah has explained that as well. Wa aqimis salata li dhikri. The first one, the burden one, Allah said, wa innaha lakabira. Some people, it's a real burden on them. The salah is a burden on them. Allah has even given the remedy of the burden as well. How to make salah not become a burden. Allah has given that remedy in the Quran as well. This is the first type of salah that some people find as a burden. The second type of salah, which is that I'm enjoying the conversation. I'm enjoying it. Like, you know, your friend, and he said to you Saturday, they went out for football and whatever. You know, your conversation flows. Yep. That salah, Allah said, wa aqimis salata li dhikri. You know, establish prayers to remember me. And when you remember Allah in a good way, then it flows nicely. You like to be there. But there's another salah on top of that. The salah that you don't want to get out of. The salah that you don't know where the time went when you were praying that salah. The salah that you forget where you were. Okay? That one has also been mentioned in the Quran. That is in the beginning of the 18th juz. Allah has said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Allah has said, those believers have become very successful. The ones that are completely, they've got khushu. Now I'm going to explain the word, what khushu is. Okay? They've got complete khushu in their salah. Okay? Now what does khushu mean? Allah said, these people have got khushu. What it means is that they are content. They are feeling tranquility in salah. They are feeling a devotion and they are very calm in salah. Khushu means an internal calmness. Khushu is devoted attention. All right. Just like the third example I gave you, the man or the woman on the honeymoon. right? You know, they just got married. When they talk to each other, they have khushu'. You don't have to say that. You understand that? You don't understand that? Or do you guys in Bolton just get married and you're like, yeah, goodbye. You know, have a nice day. It was nice having the nikah with you, but you know, no more closer. Khushu in your talk is that you're devoted to the person. You can't wait to carry on talking to this person. Your complete attention is there, right? So I'm going to tell you one, guys, one thing here. If you want to increase your love in your marriage, yeah, put the khushu back in your marriage. You know what I'm trying to talk about, yeah? It's like, you know, when you get old in marriage, what happens is your wife's there and you're here and you've got your smartphone here. You're looking at your smartphone and she's there. You say, yeah, okay. Look, I'm multitasking. That's not khushu, brother. If you want to increase your love in your marriage, put it away, look at them in the eye and talk to them. Sometimes I tell my wife, I say, put your phone away. Seriously, I tell my wife, put your phone away. Then I'm going to talk to you. And she said, I said, no, I'll stop. Okay, no problem. You finish off what you did on your phone. You finish off. Because, you know, there's a disease. If you're going to talk to people, the more attention you give them, the more mahabba and love you create. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's known about him that when he used to be stopped to be talked to, iltafata yaminan aw shimalan. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when you're walking and somebody just stopped you, what most people do is they just move their head. Their body's this way, they move their head. I got the point. Yeah, okay, and they move on, right? What Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do is when somebody stopped him, he used to stop and he used to move his entire body towards them, give them their full respect, and then talk to them. That was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that increases your love a lot. Anyway, let me get back to khushu of salah. If you want to get to real devoted salah where you don't know where the time went, where every sujood you don't mind how long it gets, then you have to be totally devoted to Allah. You have to give your all, give your inside to Allah. Now you're going to say to me, well, how do we get to that level? Because most Muslims, they don't know. And in fact, today I'm going to teach you that it's already been inside you. Every one of you sitting here has got this switch in your head. All you need to do is switch it on and you've got full devotion to Allah. And I'm going to try and make you learn this right now. Okay? The guy before he got married, like I said to you, he said, Khadija. The guy after marriage now, he says, with a smile on his face, Khadija. Oh, Mary Khadija. He says, my Khadija, right? And he's now putting loads of nice names on it. He puts, you know, he stretches it sometimes. When he used to write her name before, it used to be K-H-A-D. I've got it right here. I-J-A, okay? By the way, any sisters up there whose name is Khadija, I'm not doing anything up here, okay? All right, I don't even know what's happening up there. But now that he's married, what he's going to do is he's going to write that name in a calligraphy style. He writes a K like that. Then he puts another one like that. Right? Do you understand? He's now, you know, in a different world. He's become very artistic with the name. When he used to hear that name, it was a normal name. But now when he hears her name, he smiles. Before, he used to sleep in a single bed all his life. Now, if he ever is single in his bed on a journey, he just doesn't know how he slept all his life single. He doesn't know. He thinks, Ya Allah, how did I do that for 25 years? Yeah? He misses her. He wants to be with her. He texts her. He thinks about her. He wants to always know where she is. She's doing the same thing about him. By the way, guys, this only lasts for a period of time, okay? Until you wake up, right? Anyway, so the thing is, let's enjoy while we're talking about it. They have this relationship, very unique relationship. So I want to say to you now on the back of that. See, when Muslims start to first take the name of Allah, okay? Because I'm going to show you that love gets deeper and deeper and deeper. The deeper love becomes between two individuals, the more you enjoy spending time together. Now the poet said beautifully, he said, Mulaqat to nahi kar sakta, lekin yaad to kar sakta hun. He said, I can't meet you, but at least I know I can remember you. This is our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. With Allah Azza wa Jal, you can't meet Allah, but if you're in love of Allah, then you can continuously remember Allah. And the Muslim that comes in the deen, okay, comes in the deen, they start becoming practicing, when they hear Allah, or Ya Allah, Ya Allah, it's just Ya Allah, Ya Allah. So if they was to do a dhikr of Ya Allah, they'll just say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Or they might say, La ilaha illallah, it'd be like, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. You can see the effects of that on you, you're thinking, like, is that it? Is that dhikr? But now, let's take it one level up. If you take it one level up and the love actually increases in the heart, then it's no longer Ya Allah, Ya Allah. No, it's Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Do you see? Very big difference from the first one and the second one. Yes or no? Guys, come on. Just be awake with me. Come on. Yes or no? I know your food's going to come later on, yeah? Okay? But they told me, until I don't get off, you don't get no food. So you better behave in my lecture, okay? Otherwise, I'm going to drag this on. So there's a big difference between Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, and Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Now, if you want to take it one notch up, and your love is increasing more, and you actually like to spend time with Allah, then it moves to another level. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Is it not better than the second one I did? Yes? Yeah, and much better than the first one I did? Yes or no? Good. Now, the thing is, the deeper you go, the more you enjoy the time just taking his name. Just like the guy. See, when his love wasn't there, it was one way. When his love got there, then it's different. Now he's stretching her name. Now with Allah Azza wa Jal, I know over there we're talking about a human-human relationship, but here we're talking about a human and a God relationship. And here it's very different. Okay? It's a real love of creator and creation. Khaliq and makhluq. It's makhluk to khaliq. But the creation, when it takes the name of the creator, the creation has been told that my creator is also taking my name right now. Is the difference. Okay? We can't meet him, but we can remember him. And Allah said in the Holy Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ وَاشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. You remember me and I will remember you. You start to take my name and I will take your name. مَنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي. In a hadith of Bukhari, whosoever will remember me in their mind, I will remember them in my exalted being. وَمَنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ. Whosoever will remember me in a gathering, ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرٍ مِّنْهُ. I will remember him in a much better gathering, the gathering of the angels. مَنْ تَقَدَّمَ إِلَيَّ شِبْرًا. Whoever will come towards me one span's length, تَقَدَّمْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا. I will come towards him a whole arm's length. وَمَنْ تَقَدَّمَ إِلَيَّ ذِرَاعًا. Whoever will come towards me one arm's length, تَقَدَّمْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا. I will come towards him two armfuls. وَمَنْ أَتَى إِلَيَّ مَشْيًا أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلَهُ. Whosoever will walk towards me, I as Allah will run towards him. Hadith of Bukhari. So the thing is, I know this relationship that I'm building with Allah Azza wa Jal is not going to waste. It's not like I'm sitting here saying, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, nothing's happening. No. When I say with love, Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Okay? If your name is Musa, Allah will say, Ya Musa, Ya Musa, Ya Musa. Or Allah will say, Ya Musa, Ya Musa, Ya Musa, Ya Musa. You're remembering Allah, Allah is remembering you. Fadkuruni adkurkum. You're saying His name, Allah is taking your name. You're taking His name in a gathering, Allah is telling the angels about you right now. And that is the system that we've got in this deen. Now, if you increase your love more, then you want to take His name in a way that is pure love. Nothing but love. Okay? Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. When you get to a level where your love is very passionate, everything is lovely in taking Allah's name. In every dhikr. So let's say, La ilaha illallah. The first person who hasn't established his love, he's going to say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. The second person who's established something will say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. The third person who's established more love is going to say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, 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 La ilaha illallah. And if he increases more love, he'll go to another level. La ilaha illallah, 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 La ilaha illallah. Isn't that much better, brothers? Better or not? You know, if you said it with me, I'm sure you're not going to die right now. Or are you going to say, Munisab, if I say, Marigyo? You're not going to die right now. Okay? So I'm going to do once more. It's not bidah, brother. It's not bidah. If you do once more, I'm not starting a cult here. Don't worry. I'm not going to start to, you know, take all of you and make all of you my, you know, my followers, right? It's just a one-off. One-off is fine. You can do zikr like this. Tambili, fine. Okay? So don't hesitate. I'm going to say once more. I want you to join me right now. Is that okay? One, two, three. La ilaha illallah, 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 La ilaha illallah. The thing is, isn't that something, when you do it, you want to carry on doing, yes or no? Yes? Now look, same in salah. The one who hasn't built a connection up with Allah, he goes in sujood and says, Subhanallah, 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 Allahu Akbar. You understand? It's called the chicken salah. Honestly, No joke. It's called the chicken salah. You know, pak, 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 pak. Chicken salah. Now, I didn't give the name chicken salah. No, no. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's the chicken salah. You're going to say, astaghfirullah mulisa, be careful. You know, do nisba to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll tell you. He said, the one who's got some nifaq in him, he said he prays at the last time, kanakadi deek. Just like a cockerel will go. You know, you see that there? So you know his sujood? His sujood are like that cockerel. He's like, Allah, 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 Allah. You understand? I'm telling you, look, I'm not taking the mikar of salah. I'm making you understand something. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kanaqri deek, last minute he prays, and the way he does his sujood is like a cockerel that is pecking on the ground. You know, they come in salah, he say, it's like, get me out of here, that kind of salah. Well, the reason why you're doing that, brother or sister, the reason that you're doing that is because you haven't built the connection. If you build the love, you can never do it. If you have, and if you build the love of Allah in your heart, you could never pray the prayer of a chicken. You could never do that. And all those who do it, they do it, you know, they just want to get it over and done with. It's like one guy's praying the salah of Lamborghini, another guy is praying the salah of Porsche, another one is doing, you know, Ferrari salah. Okay, each one is in a F1 Formula Racing. And they have a speed. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes I look at them and think, is that guy praying? Seriously. It's like, just finish it. In fact, some of them try to do it in one breath if they can. One breath if they can. Like I'll give you a demonstration, at-tahiyyatu, right? So he'll go, التحيات لله وصلوات وطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى محمد وصلى الله على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم إنكم تنجي الله مبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كم بارك على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم إنكم تنجي الله من ظلمت نفس ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر ظلما إلا أنت فاغفر لما فلت من ذيك ورحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. That was in one breath, by the way. That was one breath. By the way, I don't do that in my salah, okay? If you're wondering, what is that? You've been practicing. Have you not? I've been practicing. Some people, they can't wait to get up. So it's like, you know, one of my ustads, he said, they don't pray, they pray a salah called Dallahu liman hamida. We said, ustad, what's Dallah? They say, you know, when they go to ruku, okay, when they go up, Sami Allahu liman hamidah, you're supposed to straighten your back, and you're supposed to say Rabbana lakal hamd, pause, get your back straight, and then you're supposed to go down and say Allahu Akbar. But they do Allahu, what does that mean? We said, Ustaz, what? He says, they say Sami Allahu hamd, Allahu Akbar. Is that so? Straight into the next beat. When they're in the sujood, it's like Allahu Akbar. And that's the prayer of someone who hasn't developed the love of Allah. And if you pray your salah all life like that, it won't make a change to your life. It won't make you stop the bad that you're doing. It's not going to make an effect on your greater soul. It's not going to do that. In the Quran said, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." Salah will prevent you from obscenity, from wrongdoing. Something that is obscene, something that is, you know, disliked by Allah, salah will prevent you from that. But this type of salah won't prevent you from that. That's why you find Muslims who pray and who swear. Who pray and who are cruel to others. Who pray and who hurt others. Why? Because that kind of salah is just a salah just to get it out of the way. Okay? And Allah said, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرًا. It's a burden on those people. Why? Because they don't have khushu. They haven't built this inner devotion inside them. Because once you build the inner devotion, then you can't pray a salah like that. You can't be in, you know, you can't love a chat and have it quickly done. You can't do that. You know, imagine you saw your friend after a long time. If you saw your friend after a long time, you'd say to him, "Hey, what's going on? Subhanallah, Mustafa, I haven't seen ages. Yeah, bro, boom, boom, boom." Okay?
Most of us sit down. Yeah, let me get. He goes, let me get. Then you sit down. And after that, you know, you say to Mustafa, what's happening, man? I haven't seen you in ages. What's going on? Yeah, they use nice words for each other. They say, what's up, bruv? They don't say, what's up, blood? Yeah. This one says, what's up, fam? No fam. I've got this fam. You know, like family, blood, ties. Allahu Akbar. Yeah. And then what happens is when they talk to each other, it's like they want to say, you know, things like, well, so what are you doing in college? Or I'm in college, I'm doing my, you know, I'm doing my engineering or something. What are you doing? Engineering? Oh, mechanical engineering. Okay, man, that's cool, man. That's cool, man. You know, how long is that going to take? Well, it's going to take me another 4 years or whatever. I get a degree after. What do you do after that? Where are you going to go? What are your plans? You know, so it's a really nice conversation flows. He says, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm going to become a teacher. What are you going to teach? I'm going to do, you know, my whatever it is. Okay, I want to teach children science or whatever it is. Okay, so it's a fine-tuned, you know, flowing conversation. And you wouldn't meet Mustafa if you like him and say, hey, Mustafa, what's going on? Are you all right? What are you doing? What college are you going? I said, well, studying engineering. What is it? Mechanical engineering. Guess what I'm doing? I'm at a college as well. And what I'm doing, would you ever do that with anyone that you actually have, you know, a good relationship? You couldn't. Now, I'm telling you straight up, once you build your relationship with Allah, you cannot pray the salah of doom, 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 doom. You know, subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. You can't do that, right? Now let's move one notch up. The one notch up is Allah Azza wa Jal said, "Wa aqimil salata li dhikri." He said to Musa alayhi salam, he said, establish prayers to remember me. Now, when you establish prayers to remember Allah Azza wa Jal, you want to think of Allah Azza wa Jal. You're trying your best to think of. You might not have the khushu, but you're at least doing it to think of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal wanted us to do. He wanted us to connect with Allah. My brothers, my sisters who are listening, you know, we've been damaged in our lives. Let me tell you, damage has happened. When I was small, I remember this being said to me. Go and pray. Hey, namaz for? Go and pray. You're going to burn in hellfire. If you don't pray, you're going to burn in hellfire. Namaz par wanna dozak ma jayega, jalega. How would you say in Gujarati, Mala? Come on, there must be a phrase like that. Come on. Hey, how do you say? Wait, you forgot Gujarati now. How do you say? Namaz pari. Namaz par. Na to dozak ma. Na to dozak ma. Jai. That's it. You've heard that phrase. If you've heard that phrase, put your hand up. Pay an account, please. Be honest. Put your hand up. Yeah. Look, this is damage. This is damage. Because I know most of us have heard that phrase. Whether Bengali, Pakistani, Urdu, whatever. Even in Arabic, they say, you know, yeah. Ibn Salli. Tusla fi nar. Right now, you're going to go and burn in hellfire. They do the same thing. Now, it's in the Quran. I'm not going to deny this. It's in the Quran that if you don't pray, then you will go to hellfire. Don't get me wrong. It's in Surah Muddathir. Allah Azza wa Jal said, they have a conversation in hellfire. So one of the parties asks the other one, they say, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What brought you to hellfire? What led you to hellfire? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. The first thing they'll say, we never used to offer salah in the dunya. It's in the Quran. But what my thing to you is, it's a damage to young children and people you're trying to get onto salah to say, you better pray, otherwise you're going to go to hellfire. Why? Why is it damaged? It's because it gives you a negative impression of salah. It makes you feel like I've got to do that salah just to save myself from hellfire. And it's not a good thing to think about. You know, when you're trying to get on the deen, when you're trying to get into your khushu or your salah, it's not a good thing to think about. Instead of this, there were plenty of other ayats in the Quran we should have quoted. What's the ayat we should have quoted? We should have said what Allah said. What did Allah say? Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Oh, you who believe, if you want help from me, then help will come through two things. I will give you help through two things. Sabri wa salat, have patience and stand in front of me and pray. If you stand in front of me and pray, then I, as Allah, I will help you. Salah is a way of getting Allah's help. Allah's help. That's what we should have said. We should have said, my son, pray, because all the help you need in life, Allah will give that to you. So that's a very positive way of talking about salah. My son, my daughter, pray. Why? Because when you pray, Allah has said He will reward you. He will reward you. How will He reward you? How? Allah said in the Quran, those who are able to pray with khushu in salah, Allah has guaranteed them not only Jannah, Allah has guaranteed you Jannah to Firdaus. Look in the 23rd, you know, surah of the Quran, Surah Mu'minun. Surah Mu'minun, beginning ayats, 18th juz, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and later on Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, those who will inherit Firdaus, and they will stay there forever. Only two places in the Quran Allah has said Firdaus. Only two places. And one of those is for a few things, six things Allah said in that part. And the first thing Allah said is, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشُونَ, those who are devoted in their salah. My friend, if I said to you, look my son, pray salah, because one day inshallah, you will live next to the prophets in Jannah. Because Jannatul Firdaus is what? Is whose place? It's the prophets alayhi salatu salam. You'll have a house next to Sulaiman alayhi salam, or next to Musa alayhi salam, or next to Ibrahim alayhi salam, or even better, next to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. Because that's what Firdaus is. Firdaus is the equivalent of today's world. I'm going to say equivalent, brothers. I'm not giving a similarity, but I'm just saying it because our young minds sometimes can't understand it, right? If I said to a young person, I said, Jannatul Firdaus, and he's like, but I'm not going to die now. I'm not going to die now. That's what they think. You know, it's like, it's a far way done. But if I said to him, look, if you do this year, you're going to get a house next to Messi. If you say that, yeah, next to Messi, go, ah, next to Messi, Messi, yeah, the one who's Messi, yeah, Messi all over, yeah. If you say Messi, they understand you. If you say you're going to get a house next to, you know, for some of them who are crazy for these stars, if you say a star's name, if you say you're going to get a house in Beverly Hills, going to get a house in Beverly, you mean next to this star, and that star, it's like, whoa, you serious? You know, it changes the mindset. Now, what I'm trying to say to you, when you get to Jannah, the best portion of Jannah is Jannatul Firdaus. And why it's the best portion is because it's the highest, it's the best, and it's got all the messengers, alayhimus salatu wasalam, living there. And if you pray your salah, and you're always on this, and you get your khushu in your salah, and you can develop that, my son or my daughter, then you will get a house next to the prophets in Jannah. You understand? It changes the whole ballgame. This is what Allah said. And that's how we should have taught our children. Look, pray your salah. Why should I pray my salah, Dad? Because if you pray your salah, there's nothing on this earth that will be more sweeter than salah. Because when you have got everything, like the poet said, and this will sum everything up. مَاذَا وَجَدَ مَنْ فَقَدَكَ وَمَاذَا فَقَدَ مَنْ وَجَدَكَ. What has he found, the one who found everything? Listen to this carefully. What has he found, the one who found everything, but lost you, O Allah? وَمَاذَا فَقَدَ مَنْ وَجَدَكَ. And what has he lost, the one who lost everything, but found you, O Allah? Understand? So we need to tell our children, tell the people you want to pray, look, doesn't matter what you get, what you don't get. You're after business, you're after money, you're after this. No problem. If in the process of that, you lose Allah, you lost everything. Everything. Because the moment you get to death, the currency changes. What changes, brothers? Guys, wake up. What changes? Currency. That's it, currency. In the Lancashire, currency. Because it's like, you know, today, I'm not going to, you know, go into the halal and haram of it, okay? But yesterday we were dealing with gold. Then we dealt with cash, okay? Then we dealt with credit cards. And now today, there's cryptocurrency. Today, where is there, brothers? Some of you can't pronounce it. Is that Amolisa Galido? Did you swear at me? Cryptocurrency, look, it's a new thing. Right? I don't know whether it's going to be halal or haram. I'm not here to give you fatwa. All I want to say to you is that if it changes and it becomes a new form of exchange, the currency has changed. Like today, you can't go to a shop and deal with gold. If you went 300 years ago with a gold dinar, a silver dirham, and you went to a shop, then you could exchange goods with the gold and the silver. When the currency changes, you better have cash in your hand. You better have a credit card or debit card, all right? A debit card better, but you better have something to exchange it. When Allah Azza wa Jal changes the currency, yesterday's currency is going to be different. Let me give you a better example, okay? You know, we just had the new 5-pound notes and new 10-pound notes. We did, right? Some of you now, astaghfirullah, Munis, have a picture and then my picture. Like, okay, guys, don't worry. Your donations are going to be accepted. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Now, £5, if you take the old £5, after a while, no one's going to accept it in the shops. If you take the new £10, they'll accept it. If you take the old £10, after a while, they won't accept it, okay? Now, think about this. Your currency today is money. Your currency is assets. Your currency is what you built in Gujarat, right? And I heard your acres in Gujarat have gone up. Congratulations. Yeah. Right, it's gone up ahead. It's a true one, sir. Yeah, it's gone high, yeah? People got big smiles on their faces. Mashallah, may Allah bless you. Say Ameen, brothers. Ameen. Those of you who never said Ameen, no worry, you're just jealous. Now the thing is, once the currency changes, everything changes. Right? So what happened is you was assets, money, all right? You had bank balance, you had debit card, credit card, whatever you had. Suddenly you get to moat. When you get to moat, Allah says, يَوْمَ لَا بَيْعٌ فِيهِ وَلَا خُلَّةٌ وَلَا شَفَاعَةٌ. Allah says, today's currency, I'm not going to accept gold from you. I'm not going to accept silver from you. I'm not going to accept diamonds from you. I'm not going to accept your pounds from you. No dollars. I'm not going to accept anything from you except if you gave it in sadaqah. Do you understand? Except if you spent it in halal. That's the currency. Fine, that's the currency. But if you spent it in any other way, it doesn't mean anything. Okay? If you spend it halal, if you did some good with it, fine. That's the currency come to the akhirah. Otherwise, it's nothing. Today's currency is hasanat. Today's currency is good deeds. Today's currency is thawab, jaza. Whatever good deed you did, nekia, whatever you want to call it, today's currency is that. So your currency has changed. Once the currency changes, everything changes. My brothers, I want to tell you this. When you have your children growing up, teach them this. The salah you're doing is the currency of the akhirah. There's no currency of exams that work over. There's no currency of AAA stars over there. There's no AAA stars for this dunya, no problem. Son, I want you to do very well for your GCSE, for your college, you know, A-levels. I want you to get AAA star, no problem. That's for this dunya. That's the currency of what? Of this dunya. Are you guys understanding? You're not understanding? Or is the biryani distracted you? I don't know if it's just, they're going to say to you, Molly's having a biryani kedia. Ah, marigio, biryani. I don't know, guys. I don't know what's on your menu, okay? So please forgive me whether there's biryani or biryani. I just said it, okay? Right? So, dal chawal, that's even better, brother. Yeah, dal chawal, even better. And even better than that would be the other one, the naan gosht. Oh, yeah, that was funny. But anyway, I don't know what's on your menu, okay? So please concentrate here. The thing is, when you teach your children, teach them, this is the currency of the dunya, the currency of the akhirah. And there's no crossover. When you get to the akhirah, the currency of the dunya doesn't work anymore. So when you're in salah, make sure you turn it into a currency. To turn it into a currency, what you have to do is, you have to put the love into it. Right? Now we need to teach love of Allah in salah. How? A person who has no love, like I said to you, will say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. A person who has a bit of aqimis salata li dhikri, he's doing it to remember Allah, he'll say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, which is a lot better. But a person who has got a more love than that for Allah, he'll be in salah and he'll be in sujood and he'll say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Okay, it's getting better. A person who's got extreme love for Allah, and who's in sujood, then that sujood, you know what? He doesn't want to lift his head up. I'm being serious with you. If you know someone with serious love of Allah, they're in there, what are they doing? They're saying, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, 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 Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. Somebody says, A'la, from my heart, A'la. You know, for Allah, for you, you're the greatest. You're the greatest. See, that kind of passion, desire to stay there on the ground. And you know what? There's a sukoon that comes in sujood. You stay there, you're in sujood, and you know that you're talking to no other than the one who created you, the one who you're going to return to, the one who's going to give you every type of goodness in the next world. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. All right? And that person who's in salah, when they're praying their salah, it's done in a way that is meaningful. Like subhanallah al-azim, look, in a hadith in Tirmidhi, it says this. And I want to make you do this right now. La ilaha illa anta. Say that with me. La ilaha illa anta. Stop. La ilaha illa anta. Do it. You know what that means? That means there is no other God besides you, Allah. Now, the hadith of Tirmidhi says, when my servant says, La ilaha illa anta, I say, La ilaha illa ana. Allah says, when the servant says, there's no God besides you, Allah says, there is no God besides me. You understand? Shah Waliullah rahimahullah said in Hujjatullah al-Baligha, he said, what you should do is you should do a dhikr of Allah where you're saying, La ilaha illa anta. And he said, stop. And just imagine Allah is saying, La ilaha illa anta. You say, La ilaha illa anta. Stop. And Allah is saying, La ilaha illa ana. You understand? There's a communication going on. So when the servant stands in salah, it's no longer Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Diniyaka Nabdu Iyaka Nisa, Idhna Zirah Adham Taqim, Zirah Adham Taqim, Zirah Adham. And then sometimes people even pray while they're breathing in. Have you noticed that? Some people like, it's like, Iyaka Nabdu Iyaka Nisa, Idhna Zirah Adham Taqim, 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 Breathing in, praying, breathing out, breathing out. There's no stopping, brother. La hawla wa la quwwata. What are you doing, man? Take a break. Take a break. The salah of love is a salah when, according to hadith of Muslim, what does the hadith of Muslim say? إذا قال العبد الحمد لله رب العالمين. When the servant, when my servant says, all praise to you, O Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has just praised me. You understand? When the servant is saying here, he said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah is saying, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has just praised me. The servant says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, most merciful, most kind. Allah says, Afna alayya abdi, my servant has truly given good words towards me. But the servant says, Maliki yawmiddin, master of the day of recompense. Allah says, Fawwada ilayya amri abdi, my servant has just delegated all matters to me. He's just told me that I'm in charge of everything. When the servant says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een, only you, O Allah, do we serve, and only you, O Allah, do we seek help from. What does Allah say? Allah says, Hada bayni wa bayna abdi wa li'abdi ma sa'al. O my angel, this is a covenant, a promise between me and my servant, And my servant will get whatever he is asking for right now. Whatever my servant is going to ask for right now, he's going to get it. So the servant says, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. What is the straight path? صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. The path of all those people whom you have favored, oh Allah. I want to be on a pathway of Nuh alayhi salam, a pathway of Ibrahim alayhi salam, a pathway of Isa alayhi salam, a pathway of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a pathway of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, a pathway of Uthman and Umar shaheedain radiyallahu anhuma, the martyrs, those who were truthful, salihin, those who were most pious and most devoted to you, make me be on the pathway like them. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Don't put me on a pathway of those people who have earned your anger, nor those people who have gone astray. Okay, so Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to grant this to us right now. This is love. This is salah with love. Do you understand? It's not a salah like boom, 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 out, in, out, no, 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 no. Brothers, put some love into it. The more love you put into it, the better it will be. And the ulama say it's a good thing. You don't have to do this, by the way. But they say it's a good thing to pray your salah and to pause a little bit after these ayats. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Just pause a little. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Pause, because Allah is replying to you. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Allah is replying to pause. And have the enjoyment that you know that you're talking to Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's very different. My friends, what I'm going to do now, I've told all of you to keep your wudu, yeah? Yeah? You've kept your wudu, inshallah, yes? Those who've had a gas leak, no problem, right? You can go and do your wudu, right? Just make sure that the person next to you doesn't faint. But whatever you've eaten, may Allah bless you in that and make it digest very well. There's some people that come to the masjid and they bring some smells with them, right? Now, I, if the brother next to me brings a smell, I usually don't say anything to him to upset him, you know. But sometimes you're like, oh, brother, please, man, have mercy on me. Seriously, some people that come with socks, your whole khushu is gone. His socks, he hasn't changed them for 3 days. He thinks he's going to go to Jannah with his socks. And he doesn't realize that as he's praying, go right behind him. So you went to your sujood to get close to your Allah. Allah. And when you went to the sujood, you smelt his socks and you ended up somewhere else. You start holding your breath. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Imam, I'm dying here. Seriously. Please, brothers, change your socks when you come to salah. At least have some good stuff. Because the hadith says, don't come to the masjid with smells that if human being doesn't like the smell, the angels don't like the smell as well. So they don't like the smell of your smelly socks. Okay? Now, no offense to anybody who's sitting here and has that, but please do have mercy with your brothers. The other one is sometimes they eat a lot of food and they come to the masjid. Right? And they go, but look, I don't mind somebody's burping, but if you burp, brothers, the hadith actually says when you burp, you can do it in a nice, gentle way. You don't have to be rude about it. You don't have to go, you don't have to do that. And second, the most annoying thing is, some people, while they're in the salah, they're going to burp, and they think that they better respect the qibla. So they better not burp this way. So what they end up doing is, you're next to his salah, you're next to here. So he goes, and he blows straight in your face. Every brother, what did I do, man? What wrong did I do? There's all sorts of things that people do. Right? Some people, you know, brothers, if you got a habit of smoking, then you got a habit of smoking. Now please keep it outside there. And when you come to the masjid, we want you in the masjid. I'm not saying I don't want anybody in the masjid who smokes. No. I want you still to come to the masjid. I love you. I love you as a brother. But please love me too. Love me too, okay? I love you to be in the masjid, but come in the masjid. And all you need to do is just brush your teeth a little bit. Carry miswak with you, chewing gum, something else, quickly in your mouth. And just quickly, you know, and then come to salah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know what I'm talking about. Just quickly chewing gum. You know, they don't, even when they go to their wives, they put a chewing gum first. Right? And then they go and talk to their wives or be close to their wives. So when you come to Allah, when you come to masjid, just, you know, chewing gum, whatever is miswak, get the smell away, and then come to masjid. Marhaba, you're welcome in the masjid, inshallah. By saying this, I'm not chasing anyone away from the masjid. Anyway, What I want to say to you is, brothers, I'm going to do a demonstration, but before I do a demonstration, I want to teach you a few things. And today we want to get our salah right. Say, inshallah. And when I say this, brothers, I'm going to teach you. I don't know if anybody, you know, because honestly, I never learned this until I met my ustad, my dear ustad, Mullah Fadhl Rahim, rahimahullah, who used to live in Oldham, not too far away from you guys. He was a direct student of Sheikh al-Arab wal-Ajam, Sheikh Hussein Ahmad Madani, rahimahullah. Okay? He was a direct student of his. He graduated from Deoband in 1949. Okay? And he came first as well in Deoband. And he spent another 2 years with Muhammad. Now, subhanAllah, the thing is, I never knew this kind of salah. And I'm going to teach you very basic things that he taught me. And this will put your salah in practice. Right? He said, whenever you pray Hassan, all right, I learned the full salah again of him. He said, whenever you pray Hassan, he said, you stand, okay? When you stand, see, most people, they have all sorts of ways of doing their feet, okay? Some going to be having their feet like that, okay? Some have the feet like this, okay? That's not sunnah, okay? Some have all sorts of ways of putting their feet. The sunnah way of putting the feet is you have a gap between the two. And you have all your toes facing the Qibla. There's a narration for your toes to face the Qibla. And for that, you get extra reward. Okay? Now, you're standing in Salah. He said, whenever you stand in Salah and you put your hands up, he said, just imagine with the back of your hand, you're smacking away the dunya. Okay? And with the front of your hands, you are surrendering to Allah. So it's like, Allahu Akbar, like, boom, that's the dunya gone behind. So all the thoughts of the dunya, all the worries of the dunya, everything have gone behind me. And this is my salah for my Allah. And I'm going to just surrender all my thoughts, my ideas, my body, my everything to Him. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask you, brothers, there's many ways people do the takbir and raising their hands. Okay? So, I'm going to ask you, right? Put your fingers together. I'm going to put your fingers together, right? These fingers together. Thumbs split away, okay? Thumbs split away. And then what you do is when you raise it, you're going to raise it up to the level of your earlobes, okay? Right? Don't try and touch your earlobes. You don't have to touch your earlobes. It's over there, right? And straight. So we don't want any satellite dishes, all right? We don't want any other, rockets that are going to launch or something. You know. Straight to the Qibla. Fingers together, right? Like that, okay? So, Allahu Akbar. Look straight, and then you're going to tie. Now, you do this, obviously, in a normal salah when you got space, okay? When you're in jama'ah, you have to be a bit considerate because you don't want to barge the person next to you, okay? But anyway, what I was saying to you is that people have all sorts of ways of doing the raising their hands. Some people come, they do this, look, they do this. Some people do this. All sorts, right? Some people do this. And the ones that really make me laugh is the brothers that come from the gym, yeah? They're all like pumped up, yeah? Walk in the masjid, they walk in. Come in and they go. Wow, bruv. You killed it. Who taught you to pray salah like that? It's not a gym, brother. You're in the masjid right now, right? So anyway, you got all sorts. Now do that once more again. Do that once more, the proper one. But thumbs separate. Look, thumbs separate, straight. Make sure straight. Fingers together, everyone's fingers together. Don't have it tilted to anyway. But that's the sunnah, okay? That's good. Now, you're going to do the next thing. I'm going to teach you all of this, but you're going to do it together. I'll do all the demonstrations for you now, and then I'm going to make you stand in the safs, and we're going to do it together, right? So when you tie your hands, okay? So I'm just going to show you the Hanafi way of doing it. Now, if you're following the Shafi madhab, if you're following any other madhab, no problem, brother. Any way you're doing it, as long as it's backed up by the hadith, if you follow a different madhab, no problem. I'm not here to convert anyone. Okay? But simply, what you're doing is, take your thumb and your small finger and wrap your wrist round like a watch. The left wrist, wrap it around like a watch. Okay? And these three fingers keep them straight. These three fingers keep them straight. Okay? Okay, now once you've done that, you place them down. And Mullah Fadhreen Sahib said to me, he said, when you stand like that in front of Allah, he said, imagine you are a criminal who is in front of the judge and Allah is about to summon you. Okay, so it's a position of humility. He said, when a criminal comes in front of the judge and they have their hands like that, they show the humility. Why? Because they want the forgiveness from the judge. So we want the judge, Allah, to forgive us. That's why we stand like this. And he said, those people who stand like this, like some sisters will stand like that, fine, and some brothers of the Shafi'i madhab and so on will have their hands up here. Basically, you're standing with your heart. You're standing with love. You're standing there with the love of your heart for Allah. Okay, whichever one it is, you bring that in your mind. Okay, so now that you stood properly, your feet are okay, you've done the thing. Okay, the next thing is going into ruku. Now, going into ruku has several things. A lot of people don't know this, and I'm going to put it together for you. Right? So, and you're going to have to practice, brother. It doesn't come in one day. Right? So, first thing is, when you release your hands, okay, and you're going to go down, your palms need to be on your kneecaps. What did I say? Palms on your kneecaps. Okay, fine, good. Right. Next thing is, fingers need to be webbed. All right, spread out. Fingers are what? Spread out. Okay, so come on, what's the first one? Palms on kneecaps. Fingers, spread out or webbed. Okay. Next one is, lock your arms. Okay? Next one is, lock your legs. So what do you do? Lock your arms. And next one is, lock your legs. Right now, if I get into that position, so there, I lock my arms, lock my legs. Okay? Tell me, brothers, I'm going to do it here so the camera can just see me as well. Tell me, brothers, is my back straight? Is my back straight? Brother, it's actually not straight. Okay? So don't try and be kind to me, okay? It's not straight. To get it straight, you see the muscles of my ankles, yep? I need to lean forward with that. Now watch this. You understand? You see that? Like I was here first, so then I just lean forward. You see that? Now I tell you, is my back straight? Yes? Now watch my head. My head could be like this, or my head could be like that. That's wrong. My head needs to be leveled. Back could be like that. Back could be like that. That's wrong. Back needs to be straight. Okay? So everything's straight now. Arms are locked. Legs are locked. Right? This part moving forward is a sunnah many people miss out. And to cheat, what they do is this. They bend their legs, right? And they go like this. Right? They bend their legs to try and get their back straight. But bending their legs and getting the back straight is not the sunnah. The sunnah is rest on your kneecaps, bend forward where your ankles are. Bend forward with that and you will get your back straight and keep your head straight as well. Now you're going to need practice on this. Okay? So what's the first thing in ruku you're going to do? Come on, guys. Arms on you. Second thing? Fingers up. Third thing? Fourth thing? Of the legs. Fifth thing? Lean slightly forward with your muscles of your ankles. And the next thing, keep your head straight. And the last thing, the back, keep it level. Because sometimes people have a hunchback, some people have different. Okay, that's good. You've learned that, right? Next part. What you do is, when you're getting up from the ruku, you get up, Sami Allahumma alhamdulillah, keep your back straight. That's a sunnah. Now, when you go down, a lot of people get this wrong. You're not supposed to go down in a zigzag way, like boom, boom, boom. Right? People go in all funny ways into their sujood. You're supposed to go down. Now watch this. I'm going to do this slow for you. Right, watch this. I'm going to do it slow for you. So as I go down, you can see I'm going down. My legs are bending. Now you don't have to get up, brothers. My legs are bending. My back, yeah, is what? Straight. Now look, to do that takes a lot of muscles out of your thighs. Yeah? I'm getting up. Back is straight. I'm getting down very slowly for you. Right? All my muscles on my whole legs, especially my thighs, are working here. And I've basically got my back straight. That's how where you're going into sujood and getting back up. Brothers who practice this, you'll be cutting down on your hours in the gym soon, inshallah. Because it's going to really keep you fit. Okay? Now, when you go down, what you want to do is, and again, I'm doing the Hanafi one. I'm not here to convert anyone. However you do your salah, as long as you got a backing, that's fine. Okay, so I'm going down. My hands will enclose slightly, and they'll come just behind my kneecaps. Okay? So I'm ready with my hands on my, resting on my, just not on my kneecaps, but just behind it. First thing that will touch is going to be my knees. Next thing that will touch is going to be my hands. And next thing that's going to be touching is my nose and then my forehead. Now, I do understand some of the hadith to do with hands first and knees next. No problem. Look, there's hadith both ways, so I don't want any argument or ikhtilaf between this. There are different ways to pray. Okay? The thing is, when you get into sujood, there are again a number of things to do. You remember I taught you the takbir. Can you do that again? Keep it there, keep it there. Right. Fingers are what? Together. That's how your sujood is going to be. Fingers together, fingers pointing towards what? Qibla. It's going to be pointing towards Qibla. Two thumbs are going to be separate, and you put your nose between the thumbs and your forehead just there. Okay? For men, obviously we lift our, you know, elbows from the ground. And when you're there, fingers together in sujood is a sunnah in itself. Okay? When you come up, oh sorry, while you're in sujood, the feet is really important. Some people have all sorts of ways of putting the feet. Some people have the feet crisscross, right? Crisscross in sujood. Some people have it flat. Some people have both of them up, right? All sorts. What you need to do is you need to have both feet erect, toes facing the Qibla while you're in sujood, and both feet separate from one another. Both standing, both toes facing the Qibla, and both feet separate from one another. Okay? If you get that position inside the sujood position, I'm just doing this for the camera. If you get it and both are facing that, you got extra reward for your toes facing the Qibla. Okay? Then you get up. Okay, imagine I'm now sitting in my tahiyya or my jalsa or whatever. Now, here again, the right foot needs to be erect. Some brothers say, oh, I can't do it. Bruv, if you're not going to practice, yeah, you're never going to be able to do it. When I first time did it, it used to hurt me. And what is I'm going to ask you, the first time you did your toes straight up properly, did it hurt or not? Yes. But did it hurt or not? Yes. Anybody here going to claim that it was natural? Got a bender. Anyone claim that? It hurt everybody. And when you sit like that for a while, you get used to it. And it becomes part of nature. It doesn't hurt you after that. You actually, it's fine. If you're going to say, nah, that's going to hurt me. I can't do it. It's too hard. What are you going to do next? You're going to call the childline helpline on me or something? What's wrong with you? Seriously, I went to the masjid the other day. And you know these chairs you've got? Yeah? Okay, I understand some people are old, they've got back problems, they've got leg problems, they've got ulcers. Okay, fine, they sit on the chairs. I saw some youngsters sitting on the chair and praying. Like, I'm freaking, bruv, I don't see no crutches next to you. Three of them sitting. I'm thinking, man, the brothers must have had a tough time in the gym, you know what I'm saying? Like, but the back must be hurting after all those push-ups, bench presses. I don't know what they were doing. Now, that's if you can pray, whatever you can pray, please do your salah and don't try and make excuses. We've got all sorts of excuses coming up. I can't fast. What can you fast? Because I've got exams. You know, if that was my time, yeah? I won't go any further, yeah? We never even asked the question. We never even said anything about it. We never even asked the question. My God, man, kids these days, they can't do this, they can't do that. And then all of a sudden, yeah, you take them on the football pitch. Man, the guy can do everything. He can do slide tackle. He can, like, kick and, you know, all the wondrous 360 degrees, turn everything. He can run for 2 hours. And you tell him when he comes home, carry this shopping bag from your home. He goes, it's too heavy. You give him a whole bag full of you know, football boots, football, you know, the kit, you give him with maybe cricket back then, maybe whatever it is, I don't know, baseball, whatever it is, right? You give him that, he'll carry, oh, right, to the ground. You give him a bit of shopping, what's wrong with you? Okay, anyway, you put your foot up, the right one, you sit on your left foot, and your right one stays erect, but you sit on the left side, which is straight. Okay, I'm just going to do it again for the sake of others watching this. So once you put your right foot erect, toes facing the Qibla, and the left one you sit on, it becomes natural. Okay? Hands should not be over the kneecaps. Hands should be behind the kneecaps when you sit down. Okay? And when you're saying ashhadu, look, ashhadu Allah ilaha. When you say the ha, you drop the finger up to here and you make this round shape with your finger resting straight, okay? And it's in that position. Okay, just leave it there. Again, there are many ruayats, there's many ways of praying this. Some people, you know, move the finger. No problem. I'm not here to convert anyone. This is just one way of praying salah. Okay. Now, salam, all right, is a very simple thing. You just look at the end of your shoulder and the end of your shoulder. And again, people do all sorts of things in this as well. Salam, so we look. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah. Just do that. Do that. Some people do all sorts. Some people go. Where do you get that from? And some people do this, look. Where do you get that from? Straight, just dance, right, left, done. Okay, now another one I forgot to say is when you're getting up from sujood, up. A lot of people get this wrong. When you're getting up from sujood, okay, you're getting up, hands, you know, first came the forehead up, then the nose, then the hands, then the knees. Now watch my back. The knees, you get in this position, and then you come up straight, look, back straight all the way. If you come up like this, if you come up and you go like this, look. You go like that, look. You go like that, and then you get up. Yeah? What have you just done? A ruku. You did an extra ruku. If you go down, you do the same thing. Let's say you say, Sami Allahu lana hamida, Rabbana. You go like this, look. You go like this. Like that, and then you go like that. And get back into sujood. You just done an extra ruku. You're supposed to have your back straight. And if you do that again and again, you get used to it. Very simple. I'm going to ask you, right? I'm going to ask every person here, inshallah, if you just leave for me this saf empty, and from that saf, this saf here, I want everyone to make their rows, inshallah. Inshallah, bismillah, and then we're going to do a quick demonstration, salah. So you keep your, I've saved you, you can move it where you want, I've saved these two. Make sure there's enough space. Don't stand crammed. Don't stand crammed. You need the space to do khushu. Okay, guys. What I'm going to ask you to do very, very easily is please. It won't take very long. Once you find a space. Okay. Once you find a space. Just tap one person, so two, I want couples, okay, so basically, you know, partners for this demonstration. So just have one partner next to you, just make yourself, I'm your partner, you're my partner, just do that right now, with one person next to you, okay, who's going to observe you, okay, and whoever that is, let's say it's two people, name one of you A's, okay, say I'm A, and the other person becomes B, all right, you got that? A for Surti, B for Baruchi. Okay, sorry guys. Sorry, I didn't mean that. Yeah. Don't worry, alhamdulillah, we're brothers, aren't we, brothers? Yeah. Yes or no? Yeah. Come on, guys, you can say it better. Yeah. We're brothers, aren't we? Yeah. Oh, mashallah. Okay. But don't worry, we have the same thing as well. We have siletis and chitagongis and we have all that ikhtilas. I understand what you're going through, brothers. Don't worry about it. I feel for you. Look, A's and B's. What I want is all A's. I want all A's, okay, to do the takbir and all B's to observe. Come on. All A's do their takbir. And your partner, whoever is next to you, just observe. You can move slightly forward in yourself. You want to observe them properly. Look at the hands. Are the hands straight? Look at the thumbs. Thumbs, look. Are they tilted? Look, are they tilted that way? Just check them. Are the fingers together? Okay. A's, I want all of you to also look at the feet of B's. Look at the feet. Look at the feet. Are they straight? Have they got a gap? Okay, just observe one another, inshallah. Good. Right, now swap over. B's, observe A's. Come on, swap over. First the hands, the feet, fingers together, thumbs separate. Okay, you don't want hands to be tilted in any way, any direction. See the feet, are they facing the Qibla? Okay, good. That's good. Okay, silence please. Silence. Good. Right, now. A's are going to observe B's now again. And what B's are going to do is, you're going to now tie your hands. Then tie your hands. Exactly like I said, you know, like wrist. Okay, just do that. Tie your hands with the three fingers. Going straight. Okay. Good. And now stop over. The others do it. Watch when they raise the hands. Have they got the fingers again separate or not? Is this together? Look at all that again. And let them put their hands together. Good. Right. That's very good. I want all A's to step slightly forward. All A's slightly forward. B's stay where you are on the saf. A's slightly forward. A bit more forward. Because B's need to do the ruku now. Into ruku. So turn around. Look at the B's. Okay. And now all who are B's go into your ruku. Go into ruku. I want you to look. Look what we said. A lot of people I can see straight away. Arms are not locked. Legs are not locked. Hands are not on palms. Okay. Palms are not on kneecaps. Web fingers. Right. Move forward to get your back straight. Is the head straight? Is the back straight? All right, arms, are they locked? Legs, are they locked? Okay, you can get up now. Everyone get up. Can I have silence, please? Silence. Shh. The quicker, the more silent, the better it is, okay? Guys, listen. This needs observation. So I'm going to go over it again because I just saw a lot of you doing it wrong. What was the first thing I said in ruku you have to do? The first thing is the palms on, the kneecaps. Number two. Web fingers. Number three. Arms locked. Number four. Legs locked. Number five. Sorry, move forward, all right, to get the back straight. Number six. Head. Number seven. The actual back itself, if it's hunchback or two down, all right? Seven things, right? Now, again, A's observe B's again. Now, get all those seven right. Come on. Okay, good. Now swap over. B's will observe A's now, but swap over, come on. Check the elbows, check the palms. And also don't forget the feet. The feet have to still be straight towards the Qibla. Check the heads, check the backs. Good. Now, everyone straight. Everyone stand up, please. Everyone stand up. Quiet, please. Quiet. Shh. Okay. A's, again, come forward. B's, stay where you are. Right? Bees are going to now go from standing a position with the back straight all the way down into the sujood. Ready? Go. You might have to do once or twice to see if the back is straight or not. Might have to do once or straight. Do it again, inshallah. Do it in another demonstration. When they get into sujood, check the fingers in sujood. Check fingers in sujood. Check the thumbs. And look at the back. Check the feet at the back. Check the feet at the back. Were the fingers together or not? Check that. Were the fingers towards the Qibla? Check that. Okay, good. Now everyone quiet. Shh, shh, shh. Good. Guys, good. Very good. Just stay quiet. Look, there's quite a lot of things here. Back has to go down straight. Brothers, please. Shh. Back has to go down straight, okay? And when you hit the ground, don't forget the hands are after the knees. And then the hand, look, thumbs, fingers together towards the Qibla, elbows off the ground, feet are erect, okay? So now, I want Bs to observe As. Come on, Bs to observe As. Fingers in sujood. Look at the fingers. Fingers have to be together. Fingers together. Check the feet to the back. Check the position of the fingers. Straight or not straight. Good. Toes towards the Qibla. Okay, now everyone. Everyone stay standing. Shh. Quiet, please. Quiet. Quiet. Shh. Shh. Quiet, please. Thank you. I'm going to say to you nicely. Shh. Quiet, please. I'm going to say to you now. Chanu manu beijani. I say, yeah? Time, please. Time. Chup. What is that? Chup beijani? Good. But nice. Please, no offense here. I love all of you guys here. Yeah? I love all the Surtis. I love the Baruchis. I love all of you. And I love my own kind as well. And I love our opposites as well. I love everybody. Alhamdulillah. Okay, now, sitting down in Tahiyya, what you're going to do is, A's are going to observe B's. Now, this is what you observe. You've got to observe the hands. And I want everybody to do, look, everybody, you know, in Tahiyya, the fingers are not together. Listen carefully. Tahiyya or Julus, fingers are not together. Are you listening? Shh. Right? I want you to observe the finger. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Just that part of the finger, how it goes, and rests. Look, rest. Circle, a circle, and this finger rests. It stays there. Not on the kneecaps, behind the kneecaps. Okay? And you got to look behind to see the foot. The right foot erect, sitting on the left foot, okay? And sit like that, okay? All of that, and then the salam, all of it together. So all A's step forward, all B's sit down. All stay. All A's stand up, B's sit down. Check how they're sitting. Check the shahada. Check that he rests properly. Check the feet behind. Check that they're sitting on the left side. Check the salam. Good. Right. Very good. Now, swap over, brother. Swap over. B's observe A's. B's observe A's. Good. Right now, I want everyone, once you've done that, everyone please sit down. Sit where you are. And I need silence now. Sit down, please. Thank you. Sit down yourself or just in front of yourself. Just sit down. And you can have silence. Shh. Now here's where we get the khushu in. This was the outside of salah. See, there's two sides of salah. My sheikh said a wonderful thing. If you stay quiet, please, jazakumullah khair. My sheikh said a wonderful thing. Sheikh Mufti Rashidur Rahman from Bangladesh. He said a wonderful thing. He said, now listen to this carefully. This will sum up a lot of things for you. He said, for the salah to be complete, you have to get all the positioning of salah right, according to what we learned in the fiqh books. Okay? You know, everything you did now is what the fiqh books wanted us to do, the outer of salah, the positions, the way you stand, the way you go down. For salah to be complete, you have to get the positions right, as explained in the books of fiqh. But for salah to be accepted by Allah, you have to put your devotion inside it. Okay? For salah, for Allah to love the salah and accept it and really like you for it, you have to put the heart into it, you have to put the devotion to it. And here's where we're going to do the next part, which is putting the devotion to it. I want brothers, all of you please, you're going to join me in some zikr. And when we do the zikr, we're going to get into a motion of only Allah is watching me, Allah is watching me. So I want everyone to join me here. It's not going to be bidah or anything. It's completely fine. This is a one-off. And I want everyone to join in with me, inshallah. Say inshallah. Good, good, good. Now, I'm gonna say the dhikr, and I want you to join with me. Stay where you are. You can close your eyes if you want to, or you can keep them open if you want to, no problem. The sunnah way of salah is to keep the eyes open and have your devotion. However, if in the interim period you can't get khushu unless you close your eyes, you're allowed to close your eyes, and after a while you slowly start opening them. After when you get used to your khushu, you can start slowly opening them, and then you get back onto the full sunnah again. So the ulama have allowed you to close it in the interim period where you can't get your khushu. Okay? Now, please brothers, when you pray at home as well, sisters pray at home as well, try and remove all distractions, try and remove whatever it is, try and get some kind of, you know, a place where no one's going to disturb you. It's the best thing. Okay? A moment where no one's going to disturb you. So, when you sit down now, be calm. I don't want any sound, any noise. There are boys at the back there, please. Boys, no sound. Brothers, anybody there, I don't want any sound now. This is now our time with Allah.
Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah.
Can we have some light, please, in the middle? Some light, please, in the middle. Let's put some light, thank you. Leave it off on the sides, no problem.
Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah.
Okay, now, I want you to stand up as if you're standing for Qiyam. Stand as in, you know, in your Salah. Stand. Okay? Now, as you're standing, we're going to do Dhikr. We can just imagine just Allah, only Allah. I just want to call Allah. Allah is watching me, that's it.
Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah,
I want you to imagine right now that we are standing on the day of judgment. And we are only thinking of Allah. So again, Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Okay, now going to ruku. Everyone going to ruku. Everyone going to ruku. Now while in ruku, Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Everyone stand up, everyone stand up. Think to yourself, only Allah is watching me. Allah is, think to yourself, Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. With your hands down. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Everyone going to sujood. Everyone going to sujood. A while in sujood, say, Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Sit down, tahiyya, sit down, tahiyya. Again, as you in tahiyya, just only Allah is with me, only me and Allah, me and Allah. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Shh. Okay, now, I want you to remember this. This is right now, this is your opportunity to get the next thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the nearest meaning, whosoever does a nice wudu and then does two rakats where their face and their heart does not turn to anything but Allah in those two rakats, then Jannah becomes wajib for them. Okay, two rakats only. So here's a chance. I want everyone to stand up. Everyone stand up. I want you to do the two rakats where you're going to get that Jannah from these two rakats. Inshallah, whenever you're ready, please start your two rakats. Nafal Salah, two rakats.
Okay, brothers, if you just stay where you are, and I'll say, can you just notice a few things for me? Tell me first, is your breathing calm at this moment than it was before or not? Tell me that. If it's yes, put your hands up. Now look, it's a lot of people. That's what khushu does to you. Khushu, devotion, calms you down. Do you see? Because you pray the salah of love. You pray the salah of devotion. I would like you to understand the meaning of salah. It's good. But even if you don't, did you see? You have the potential in you to pray the salah of love. You had it always in you. All you need to do is prep yourself up. Next question I want to ask you. Was this salah slower than your normal 2 rakats or faster? Who says faster, put your hands up. Ah, see nobody. Allah, only one person. La ilaha illa. That's a kid as well. No problem. That kid must be Speedy Gonzalez outside of this. Everybody says slow. Do you see? Salah of love. My salah for my Allah. I'm just thinking of me and Allah. Is what? Slow or fast? Automatically slow. If you ever think, right? Sometimes this happens, yeah? Shaitan says to you, I haven't got time for that, I better do fast. Why am I doing it fast? He's asking, why am I doing fast? Shaitan's going to say to you, he say, look, because you need to do this, do that, do this. Just say to yourself, once I get my Allah in these 2 rakats, Allah's going to make everything easy for me. So I don't need to rush this. Allah will put barakah into it. Allah will make it happen. Allah will remove the troubles. Allah will make me have less stress when I do my salah properly. If you do your salah fast, you're going to have more stress. You won't have any, you won't enjoy in salah, you won't enjoy out salah. But if you do salah properly like you just did now, you will at least enjoy in salah, and when you come outside salah, Allah will make it easy for you. Okay, now, next thing. Who managed to at least get, okay, in this salah, at least you had 20% of this salah was with devotion? Put your hands up. At least 20%. Hands up, okay. Keep it high, no problem. Who had 30%, keep it up. Who had 40%, keep it up. 50%, keep it up. 60%, keep it up. Good. 70%, keep it up. 80%, keep it up. 90% of this salah with khushu, keep it up. And 100, keep it up. MashaAllah, there's a few members. Takbir! Those people have just earned, inshaAllah, Jannah. For these 2 rakats, inshaAllah. Say inshaAllah. The rest of us, can you see? Our normal salah is between, if I asked you a question, I haven't got time now, but if I asked you a question before, normal people khushu in salah on average day, when they don't do preparation like you just did now, is between 5% and 25%. The moment you make some preparation, the moment you put your mind into it, the moment you relax yourself before salah, the moment you do a bit of zikr before salah, and this is how you get khushu in salah, bit of zikr, and then you get all your positions right, and then you think just for Allah, just for Allah. Just you, Allah. Just me, Allah. Just you and me. Just you and me. And just you, Allah. And just think of Allah throughout the salah. What happens is you shoot up to 70%, 80%, 90% automatically. You could have every single salah like this. And Allah will love you for just your salah. Your inside will change. Your heart will become softer. There will be nur and light in your heart. You'll be inclined towards the sharia. You'll be people who will be rejuvenated inside just because of your salah. You'll want to actually do other things like pick up the Quran, read the Quran, do some dhikr of Allah just because of this salah. This kind of salah, you carry it on and you go into sujood, you won't want to get up. You carry on doing this salah, I'm promising you this. You carry on this salah that you just did now, you get into sujood and you just want to stay there. Your head feels nice. Your mind feels relaxed. You just want to think of Allah. Subhanahu bil ala, 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 from the heart. Okay? Now, let me ask you another question. This salah that you prayed right now, did you enjoy it or did you not enjoy it? Tell me. Come on, be honest. You enjoy it or not? That's what we've been missing all our lives. You understand? Very good, mashallah. You enjoy it, mashallah. That's what we've been missing all our lives. If you ever wondered why I found salah a burden, is because you never put it into the right way. This is the salah Allah told us to do. This salah gets you help. This salah you enjoy and Allah enjoys. You enjoy and Allah also enjoys. Say Alhamdulillah. That's the salah. You're in a nice position. Allah loves it as well. Okay? Now please, brothers, a few other things. You want to get khushu in salah? You're standing in salah. Try and stand in the place
Okay, where you basically, you know, you got your position in salah and you got no distractions. Try not to keep distractions. Okay, try to bring in musallas and musalla where, you know, it's plain. I love plain musallas. I love this carpet you've got in Masjid Zakaria. It's really good. It's plain, right? There's nothing to, you know, see. Sometimes you're standing in a you know, you get this prayer mat, you're standing there. And you're saying, where did that monkey come from? Understand? Sometimes you say, where did that little creature come from? Not going to do sujood there. Choose a prayer mat that is plain, right? Try and get into a room that is more calm. Try and pray in a calm time, right? Try and relax yourself. Do a bit of dhikr that you did right now. Try and just say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Oh, La ilaha illallah. Just anything, any dhikr, relax your mind, get into it, and then stand up for prayer, and make intention, I want to get to 100%. Even if you don't get to 100%, no problem. Alhamdulillah, it's still 60%, 70%, 80%, right? MashaAllah. And inshaAllah, your problems are going to be sorted out through this salah. Say inshaAllah. Right? And even if your problems don't get sorted out, what Allah will do is, He will relax your mind. He will remove the heaviness of the stress. He will make you be able to deal with it better. And this is the salah that we should have been doing all our lives. Inshallah, make an intention right now that for the rest of my life, I will do this kind of salah. Inshallah, for the rest of my life, I'll do my best to do this kind of salah. And inshallah, whenever you show, you know, in your house, if you did this kind of salah that you just did, your children automatically will do salah like this. Why? Because children like to copy. If you do fast, your children will do fast. If you do slow, automatically, guaranteed, stand your child next to you and you do with khushu like this. And you see your children also go slowly in salah. And that's how it should be. Anyway, jazakumullah khair, brothers. Thank you very much. And I think we've come to the end of it, inshallah. Anyway, I need to end right now. I didn't understand that. Alright, ladies are requesting for a brief explanation of a woman's salah. Yes, in the Hanafi madhab and some other madhabs, there's a difference. So ladies, for the cameras, ladies basically will lift their hands, but not up to their earlobes. They just lift it to their shoulders, okay, close by. And then they'll place them one on top of the other by the chest, okay. Ladies also, when they go into the ruku, they'll bend their arms in slightly, okay. It's fine for the ladies to do that. And ladies, when everything else stays the same except for the few things that I'm making a difference in. Ladies, when they're going to sujood, will put their elbows onto the ground, will put their chests near to their thighs, okay? And they can have the feet sort of down. And ladies, when they sit down for tahiyya, they're going to have both their feet pointed towards the right. So towards the right, and then they will sit, okay? They'll sit toward, you know, on the left, but one foot will be out of the, so towards the right sort of shin, and the other one will be foot, and that will be flat towards the side. So they will sit like that. And those are the few places that ladies are different in salah from the men. And again, some of you probably believe that ladies should pray exactly like men. Again, I'm not here to convert anybody. Whatever fiqh you follow that, you've got your own evidences. But these are the few ladies that might be praying according to the Hanafi madhab. They can pray a salah where they pray a salah that they are covering, you know, their aura a bit more when they're praying the salah, inshallah. So those are the few differences, my brothers. Jazakumullah khair. We're going to have a very short dua now, and then after that you can enjoy whatever foods they're prepared for you, inshallah. Okay, we'll have a short dua. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Ya Hannan ya Mannan. Ya Hannan ya Mannan. يا منان يا منان يا الله يا كريم يا كريم يا الله يا رحيم يا الله يا رحيم يا الله يا ودود يا الله يا ودود Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Sami, Ya Allah, Ya Basir, Ya Allah, Ya Mujib, Ya Hayy, Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghith. Our Allah, we sincerely repent to you for all the times we have prayed in front of you, but our minds were somewhere else. We sincerely repent in front of you for all the times that our minds wandered while our noses and foreheads were on the ground. We sincerely repent for all the times that we bent our backs in ruku, but we forgot where we were bowing and who we were bowing to. We sincerely repent for the times that we rushed our salah and we didn't do it with our devotion. Oh Allah, we ask you that you make us pray the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, we ask you to put our minds in salah for our hands to stand in humiliation in front of you or out of love of you. Oh Allah, we want to do a ruku where we have our hearts and minds attached to you. Oh Allah, when we go into sujood, make us of those people who do not want to lift their heads from sujood. Oh Allah, when we are in our salah, make us see that you are only seeing us and watching us. Oh Allah, you are the one who hears us, and thus we say, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Oh Allah, make us pray the salah that you will give us help after that salah. Make us pray the salah that you will give us nur and light after that salah. Oh Allah, make us pray that salah that we will be in your remembrance. And as you have said, فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ, we remember you and you will remember us. Oh Allah, make us pray that salah where the darkness of the heart will go away and light will be placed in its place. Oh Allah, make us pray that salah that we're going to be devoted in you and our khushu will increase by day and by night. Oh Allah, give us the ecstasy of salah and give us the sweetness of salah that we want to wake up for tahajjud in the night. Oh Allah, let us use every opportunity to offer not only our fard but our nawafil and sunan for you. Oh Allah, let us enjoy the salah that we pray and let us love to stand up again once in front of you. Oh Allah, make us deliver the salah of Jannatul Firdaus. Oh Allah, you have announced in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, those believers are most successful. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, those in their prayers who are devoted to you. Oh Allah, make us from those people that you have said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ, they will become inheritors of Jannah. يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, they will inherit Jannatul Firdaus and they will remain therein forever. Oh Allah, we ask you to make us pray a salah that will be the salah that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. And oh Allah, once we die, we ask you to put us in the company of our Prophet Muhammad Mustafa alayhi salatu wa salam. Oh Allah, on the Day of Judgment, we ask you to make us hug our Prophet with our bodies. We ask you to make us reach out and take kawthar from his hands and drink it and quench our thirst. We ask you to make us be in the company of the Siddiqeen, the Anbiya, the truthful ones, the prophets, the Shuhada and the Salihin. Oh Allah, where they go on the Day of Judgment towards Jannah, and when they go towards Jannah, make us follow them directly into Jannah. Oh Allah, without any reckoning, without any punishment, we ask you to take us forward. Oh Allah, don't just give us Jannatul Firdaus and give us a place next to our Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, we ask you to give us dhikr and give us the khushu and give us the devotion and give us your remembrance and give us your love and fill our hearts with your love that we don't find any other taste more tasteful than your love. And oh Allah, we want to remain in your dhikr all the time because of those individuals that connect with you and get stronger and stronger by day and by night. Oh Allah, make the same happen for our children, for our wives, for our husbands, for those who are close to us. Oh Allah, make the ummah alive through their salah and make all of those who have got hidayah become greater and closer to you. Those who haven't got hidayah, those who haven't got guidance, oh Allah, bring them onto the deen. Allahumma rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina waqta'na. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى
آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
جزاكم الله.